Our Lord Jesus Christ begins by saying to the disciples in John chapter 14, those immortal words, those powerful words, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Friends, discouragement and disappointments are part of your life. It's part of my life. Every day, there are things that we might be discouraged about. There are heartaches and heartbreaks that each one of us experience. But contrary to what many think, the Christian scriptures, the Bible, which is the only true and perfect and inspired word of God, it is the source of all comfort. The scriptures are called the word of comfort because they are the words of Christ. And these words of comfort brings encouragement to us. Oh yes, it does challenge us. At times we are struck to the heart and we are brought low. Of course, that is the case. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit also. And it pierces the hearts, but it is always for our good. The Lord, when He brings down, then He brings us up again. The danger is for each one of us, and the thing that we should be concerned about, if God is not speaking to us, if it means nothing to us. Yes, the Word of God does challenge us. It points out our failings, it points out our sins. It's like a mirror that shows who we really are. It shows the wickedness of mankind, and that's why many people don't want to hear it. Yet, it speaks to us, speaks with thousands of encouragements, thousands of words of comfort, words of hope, words that are real, with good announcements. The Bible calls it the gospel, the good announcements of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promises of God. And His promises are sure promises. They are amen in Christ Jesus for all those who trust in Him. My friends, you can take every one of the promises and take it for yourself, because they are for God's people. If you are not a Christian this morning, call upon the Lord. Be encouraged in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ also. Let not your heart be troubled. These are the words of the Son of God. On the surface, that may not appear to be such a great blessing. But when you think about, when you consider that at this moment, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, when was He talking? The Lord Jesus is on the eve of His death, and He's standing in the very shadow of Calvary. That's when He's speaking. Would you say something like this? Would you comfort others when you yourself know tomorrow it is appointed for you to die? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He takes the time to do something. He takes the time to encourage the disciples. He takes the time to encourage His followers. Will you follow Christ? Then there are many, many thousands of encouragements for you. Were their hearts troubled? Certainly. Certainly. If you had the time to read the previous chapter, the latter part of the chapter, you would realize why the Lord spoke to them like this. You see, the Lord Jesus had just told them of His approaching death in verses 31 and 30 through to 33 of John 13. He says, "Therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself.' And then He speaks, 'Ye shall seek Me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you.'" And He speaks to them of His death. They had just learned one of their number is going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another thing, that He's going to be handed to the enemies. Verse 21, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me." Imagine that. One of you is a deceiver. One of you is lying to everybody else. One of you is a pretender. Even Simon Peter, one of the Lord's true disciples, had just been notified by the Savior that he will deny the Lord. In the hardest of time, in the loneliest of times of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, still he would be denied by one of his disciples, the one who loved them. Yes, their hearts are heavy with sorrow. Yes, their hearts are burdened with grief. And they have many questions in their minds. But even in the hour of his greatest trial, Jesus still loved his own. He still reaches out to them to comfort them, to encourage them. What are the things that has disappointed you and made you filled with sorrow? What has upset you? Well, friends, from the authority and the teaching of the scriptures, if you look at all of those things, you will see that the reason for our heartbreaks, the reason for the very things that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them, and the things that cast these people down, it was all because of result of sin. Because they were experiencing the consequences of sin. The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die and it broke their hearts. It was because he was dying for our sins. If we had not fallen into sin, then there was no need for the Lord Jesus to die. But the world has fallen into sin. It is under the curse of God as well. And that's why you have heartbreaks. That's why we are grieving over the death of loved ones. Because every one of us experiences the wages of sin, which is death. But still, in the midst of all of these things, the Word of God comes to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you this morning with words of comfort and encouragement. Now, it's impossible to adequately cover every detail of this glorious chapter in one message and in the time that we have. However, I want us to look to this and look at these verses and see, take the curtain off and see this portrait, another portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the encourager. The encourager. He spoke these words to encourage the disciples. Do we need encouragement this morning? Are we following the Lord? Are we one of his disciples? Well, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, as he spoke here, you are to be encouraged by the Word of God. And there are a number of things that I want you to notice from this passage. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging the disciples by saying that there is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for tomorrow. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says this to them. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says there is a hope for tomorrow because there is a heavenly home. We have a heavenly home. He says to them about a prepared place for a prepared people. While we can't go into great detail about the wonders of that heavenly city right now, I can tell you that when Christians arrive there, we will be home. We will be home. And so the expression is used oftentimes, he's gone home. So-and-so has gone home to be with the Lord. We will dwell in our Father's house. In the Father's house. That means in the presence of the Lord. Then it is free from sin. Then it is free from sorrow. It is free from suffering. It's free from separation. Free from tears. Nothing to hinder us. All we have in heaven is the glory of God. and the glory of Jesus Christ. We read these words in John's vision that he had recorded in Revelation 21 and verses 4 and verse 27. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's it for the believers. Many people, when you ask them, do you want to go to heaven? They say, yes, I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't? But do they realize what kind of a heaven it is? It is without sin. It is prepared for those people who have been followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord has saved. Are we saved? And try as I might, I could never adequately describe the glories of this place that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. But I look forward to enter in that city someday. There is hope for tomorrow, for the Christian. There's a day coming. And for tomorrow, we know not what the day will bring forth, the scripture says. But if it brings forth our death as Christians, we have that hope, assured hope of where we will be. And isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ would speak of heaven as home? It's a wonderful word, home, in the English language. Often people are frightened by the prospect of dying. Yet for the true Christian, death is not the end. It is simply a time to go home. And especially at this time, in this world in which we are living in, there's such a sense of fear. Fear of death. And there is fear of death. We must be sober about this. It's a serious matter. But the Christian doesn't have that fear. We must fear God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the sting of death. We are going home to that place which is far better because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the heavenly hope of the Christian. And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a wonderful thing. It gives us hope. The Lord is reminding us here that there will come a day when He will return for His people. Men may doubt it. And men may mock it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And the best advice I have to you, for you, is to be ready. To be ready for that day. Therefore, the Lord says, be ye also ready. In Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Lord is coming. Do you believe that? Do you live according to that? He could come at any time. That is a comfort. But also that sobers us up. What are we doing? What have we done with our lives? What if the Lord comes tomorrow? The account is told of the British House of Commons. The member of it at the time was Benjamin Disraeli. And it said that Disraeli was elected to the parliament. He was considered somewhat an odd person, an eccentric. He dressed funny and he talked funny. But in his first occasion that he stood up to speak, people jeered at him. People mocked him. People shouted him down to the point that he sat down. And then he said this. He says, I will sit down now, but you will hear from me again. And ultimately, he became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. But this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He might be jeered down. He might be mocked. People might not believe him, ridicule him. But he says, I am going away, but you will hear from me again. You will see me again. In fact, the last recorded words of our Lord were given to John on the Isle of Patmos. And in that statement, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Friends, there is a great day coming. The Lord is coming back. There's a day coming, a great judgment coming. And the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge is returning to take his people and to judge all people. Let us be ready for when he comes. He comes to take his people home. There's a hopeful day coming. And so he's encouraging us here this morning. There's nothing to fear. Let us follow him. Let us trust in him. Let us have faith. Let us believe everything the Bible says about who Jesus Christ is. And for those who are depending for the forgiveness of their sins on the Lord Jesus Christ, what a day that will be. All our desires, all our hopes will come to pass. We will be taken to our heavenly home. It's going to be a great day of homecoming. So now the disciples are upset with the notion that the Lord Jesus Christ is going away. So he tells them that where he is going, they can come also. So there is hope for tomorrow, for whatever tomorrow brings. And the Lord is encouraging them. They are most cast down. Be encouraged then. There is hope for tomorrow. But the hope is found only in Jesus Christ. If your hope is in anything else, it will be dashed into pieces. You'll be disappointed. But if your hope and your trust is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what have you to worry? He will provide. Even heaven, he provides. Whatever tomorrow brings, there is hope there. Unless we are unbelievers and unconverted. Unless we are still in sin and sitting with the guilt and debt of it. But still there is hope now. Today, right now, there is hope. For anyone who hears these words and they are still lost, there is hope. Because God has given us opportunities and is calling us. Calling our restless hearts to fly to Jesus Christ and be saved. To escape to him. To run to him by faith. And turn away from our sins and follow him. He will not refuse you. There is hope for tomorrow. That's the first thing. Another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ says by way of encouragement, there is help for today. There is help for today. And there is help for today for salvation. He saves today. Look at verses 4 onwards. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so on. In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples that there is only one plan of salvation for all men. And so he tells Thomas that he is the way. There is help for salvation today. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He's the truth. He's the life. So he declares himself to be as the only access to God for any person. You want to access God? You want to pray to God? You want to have your sins forgiven by God? There is one sure way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes beyond that revelation and says that he is in fact the very physical representation of the Almighty God. He's God himself manifest in the flesh. And in verse 9 you read, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So boiled down to its simplest terms, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation for all humanity. How discouraging it would be for me to say to you, we don't know what way to get to God. We have no idea. We have a vague notion. It would be most discouraging because you would say, well, I don't know the way. I don't know if this path that I'm going is going to lead me there. We've all seen those, forgotten the English name for it, the little picture of a maze that that you can find your way out of this maze. And how many times as a child I used to fill it in, and then I would go down the wrong way. And then you have to work yourself backwards. Well, I used to always work out from the other end and fill it in. I used to cheat. But the life of many people are like that, in that they go down certain paths and it's a dead end. It won't lead out. But this is the sure way. This is the marked way for the Christian. And this is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says something that the world doesn't like to hear. But it testifies that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the way for any one of us to have that forgiveness of sins and sure way to heaven. Neither is there salvation, the Apostle Paul, the apostles preached. In Acts 4 and verse 12, the apostles said very clearly, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no one else that can save you. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And all of the scriptures speak the same language. They say the same thing. And I realize that this is seen as being a very narrow view in our day and time. But it is the view that is taught in the Bible. Many feel that there are various routes and ways that one can take to reach God. And it's popular to say that we don't need to be so exclusive. We don't need to be so definite about these things. And many people actually take pride in that. They are rejoicing over the fact that they don't know. They are not clear about this. And many like to be vague and general. Yet the Bible makes it clear that there is but one way for all men, and that way is through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did upon the cross at Calvary. To be vague and general about your own soul and its destination. You're putting yourself in a great danger. It's a sure way of destruction. Jesus Christ only came from heaven to be that sacrificial lamb, that sacrifice, that offering for our sins. No one else has done that. And then he blazed the way from heaven to earth and then went back to heaven so that sinners may come to him by faith and be saved. I read about a missionary in a part of Africa who told the account of what happened to him, that how he was taking the gospel to a new tribe far to the north of a certain area. And he had these helpers, those who were carrying the load of things for him. And he had guides, and they arrived to a village. And they wanted to go further on, further north. But that guide would not go. Those people who were helping him to carry his load, they wouldn't go. Because they said, no one has gone further up north. No one can get through that dangerous path. And everyone who's gone up there, they have died. They have vanished. But then the chief of that village, he summoned a man, a tall man, a battle-scarred man, and he carried a large axe. And this missionary bargained with him and promised him certain things. If he would take him with his load of Bibles and things further up north to the other tribes that were beyond that region. And as they went up, the way became rough. It became very dangerous. The path often disappeared. And there were yet certain marks on the trees that were made that was the only guide that they were going in the right direction. And because it was becoming so difficult and so dangerous, and many places that they could fall down in, the missionary stopped. And he asked the guide if he were sure that he knew the way. Because the missionary knew that they couldn't get back. He had no clue about how to get back if they had been lost. And the man stood up and he said, "White man, you see this axe in my hand? You see these scars on my body? With this axe, I made those marks on the trees. I came from the north. I came from that place. And these scars that I received when I made the way, these are the marks on my body. You ask me if I know the way? Before I came, there was no way. I am the way." And this missionary saw in this man a wonderful illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, and he witnessed to this man, and said, "But there is another one. Do you know the way to heaven? There is one who came down and he has marks on his body and he has gone back to heaven." And so he was able to witness to this man and says, "There is one who said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Before I came, there was no way. I am the way," that man said. But here in this passage, there's so many things, and we have to pass by so many of our Lord's words. But there are questions that we could ask. How can I be saved? Well, here is the way. Christ is the way. It is Christ who saves. How can I be sure of my salvation? Well, he is the truth. He is the truth. He only says the truth to you. His words are faithful and true. How can I be satisfied in this life? Well, he says, he is the life. He is the life. "Because I live, ye shall live also," he says to his disciples. And thank God that Jesus Christ is all you will ever need in the matter of your soul salvation. He's the only answer. Then he goes on discussing various other things with the disciples. He speaks about their service and speaks about them and their obedience and their love to him and his love for them. He speaks to them about the way they would be honored. In verse 14, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He says they will receive this blessing of being able to be a blessing to much more people through their witness of the gospel. That's ultimately what this means. And he says to them, encourages them by saying, "I will hear you. I will hear you," that they will be heard of God. What an encouragement this is. People may not hear you, but God will hear you if you come to him. So he says this in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Do you see, friends? Here we are given this blessed assurance that when we call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear us and he will move in time of our need. It makes serving the Lord Jesus Christ and following him much easier to know that we are not serving alone. We are not living alone. But we have his presence. We have his attention even to our prayers. We are not just living in a house and doing our own thing. And there is somebody else there in some other room. No, He's with us. We are living with Him. And He's living in us. He attends our words. We serve, my friends, a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's the encouragement to us. But also he says he will help us. Not just hear us, but he will help us. Again, verses 13 and 14. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, he says. That will I do. If ye shall ask, verse 14, anything in my name, I will do it. What is he saying? I will help you. I will be there for you now. Not tomorrow, but there is hope and help for today. So not only does the Lord Jesus Christ promise to hear our prayers, but he also promises to move in such a way as to bring about an answer. So he listens then. He goes to work on our behalf. And I'm glad that we don't serve a God who has left us to make the best out of our life. To do what we can. At the best of our abilities. You see, that's man-made belief. That's the way people think of their man-made gods and idols. And many people believe that. God is detached from them. And they just have to make the best of their life now. They're left to do what they can by their own efforts. No, the Lord says, I will do it. He does it. So you see, the Christian, if you're a Christian, you depend on the Lord Jesus to do those things for you. We serve a Lord who is able to help us by giving us that which we need day by day, today. So that is another encouragement. The Lord's help. Then he says, but you must surrender yourself to me. Surrender yourself to me. You see, there are people who might say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't ask us or give us any commandments. Well, here he specifically says of his commandments. In verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In verse 19, he says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. For he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. He says, are you surrendered to me? Have you yielded your soul to me? Do you truly love me? Are you willing to go wherever I call you to go and do whatever I ask you to do? So the Lord is saying, do I have authority in your life? And our surrender to him and all of his and his commands should be based on love. And friends, we could spend more time on these things. He encourages us even in that. And he speaks about giving of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. And he's called the Comforter. Look at verses 16 through to 18 and then verse 26. He says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's telling us of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we are given several truths about him and his ministry to believers that need to be looked into. That he's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so he promises the disciples that when he went to the Father, he would ask the Father to send the Comforter. He comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. And he is that paraclete, meaning that he comes alongside to help us as well. So the Lord Jesus Christ is a person. He's not an active force, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would teach. He's a person. He has a name. Comforter. And he comes alongside to offer protection, to offer counsel, to guide, to lead, to remind. He's that advocate. He's speaking about his personality. He says, another comforter. Literally, it means another of the same kind or quality. The Lord Jesus was a comforter himself. He comforted his people. But the Spirit of God is another comforter, one just like the Lord Jesus. And then of his ability, look at it. Even the Spirit of Truth, that's his another name, Spirit of Truth. He speaks truth. And he will abide with the disciples. And the Lord Jesus has abode with them for 3 years, and now the Spirit of God will abide with them. Not just for a short time, but forever. And the purpose is for our keeping. The purpose is for him to bring to our remembrance Jesus Christ and his word. And the plan of God. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to a place of conversion. And as the Lord brings the thoughts to the conclusion in this chapter, in verses 27 through to 31, he encourages disciples with his peace, his stillness. He brings this thought to them. He says to them, with all of your troubled hearts, with all of the things that you are going through, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? He said it already in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. See, the world doesn't give you peace. Other people cannot give you peace. That internal peace, that spiritual peace. He says, I give. He does. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ is still the Prince of Peace. And he says, I'm leaving you, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to give you that peace, my peace. So he says that even though the world is about to be shattered, their world was to become very dark for them in the coming days, they can face it. They can face it with the assurance that they have his peace to keep them during the difficult hours ahead. That's what he says to all those who follow him. I give you my peace. So I remind you again, friends, that those of you who are truly the Lord's, those of you who are following the Lord, he's given you this assurance, this promise, this encouragement. Friends, our world is in a turmoil. There is uncertainty all around. People are promising, as they have done in the past 12 months, of this and that and the other. And every single time it is proven that people are not in control. The governments are not in the control. God is. God is. But the Lord is saying to us that through it all, those who are truly the believers, followers of the Savior, true Christians, they are possessed of a peace that defies all description. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, this peace is this heavenly peace. It is heaven as its origin. So it can't be affected by the events of the earth. You see, this is my peace. This is heavenly peace. It's not earthly peace. And people go after earthly peace. And you follow that, you will not have peace. So your response in the time of trouble is one of faith. You have faith in Christ. Not merely generally faith in God, but in Jesus Christ. Listen to his words of verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. On what basis? Ye believe in God. believe also in me, he says. So our response is one of faith, is one of leaning on the peace of Jesus Christ, trusting Him to take care of His own, that He will take us through these things, but not only through these things, He will take us through death, and we will arrive safely at our Father's house. Let us be thankful to God that there is one who is the encourager. There is Jesus Christ who is our encourager. And we should be so glad that when we don't understand what is going to happen, when it seems that everything is falling apart, when we don't know which is the way to turn to, we can always count on, we can always fully trust in the Son of God. He can give us all things that we need today. Is there need salvation? He gives us that. He presents us with Himself as the Savior of sinners. So go to Him then. Trust in Him. We can count on Him for that. We need peace in our hearts. The remedy is found in the Lord Jesus. So spend time with Him then. But trust Him today. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, the Scripture says. So whatever you face it, don't face it alone. There are people who are facing it alone and saying, I just can't do it. If I just give more of my time, more effort, if I go and talk to this person, if I go and talk to that person, if I watch enough video clips on how to improve myself and read enough books on this and that, or even listen to sermons, I'm going to get peace from that. I will improve myself in this. Don't fool yourself with that. You need time with the Lord. You need time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you and I need. Face Him. Don't face this world alone. Face this world with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this world, so many people who are alone. I heard from a man yesterday of one of the relatives, a 13-year-old boy, committing suicide. Because he can't cope with all of these things that's happening. And he's watching and he's listening to people and to things, and he couldn't cope. How sad it is. It's heartbreaking. But to know that there is one who will listen to us. There is one who is there for us. Oh, if only those children would be told about the love of Christ. Friends, the world will not give you comfort. But Christ does. Don't reject Him. Don't refuse His invitations and overtures towards you. So let us take comfort in this. Christ is the great encourager. And that's all I've tried to concentrate on throughout this passage. He's encouraging His people again and again and again. And the words that he gives to them, yes, there is so much teaching in that, so much challenge in that. But He says, look, I have my cross ahead of me. Tomorrow I will die. But these are all the things you have. These are all the things that I am purchasing for you. These are all the things that is awaiting you. So He sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. He sees the pain he's going to suffer and he's satisfied. And he's giving these words of comfort to his disciples. May we receive them too.